your job? Well, I teach career development at Hunter Business School. So for the past year and a half or so that I've been there, it's been a situation of me concentrating on this, developing this, getting tools to be able to help people get jobs and all that kind of stuff. And so as a result of that, I had been, you know, up to it. Now, Charlotte says I'm not supposed to say this. And when I responded to the pastor, I put it in as the first line. He said, "Would you be willing to preach?" And I said, "Abso-friggin-lutely!" Okay? And I am. Okay, I just love the idea of helping people get to work. Okay, because that's, I mean, and more about that later. We'll go with this. Okay. And the other thing is, okay, I love the Word of God, okay? I'm telling you that. But this has all the Word of God in it today that we're going to be using. So I'm putting that there, all right? Now, the other part of it is, though, I've got everything in here. And if I were to open that up, we'd be here till 3 o'clock in the afternoon for the first service, okay? So I've got to stick to my outline. And believe me, a lot of prayer went into this. So if you see me just handling papers, please understand that it's God's Word that's there and everything like that. Bible's right there in case I need to pull out the sword and do something with it, but we'll do what we can. I want to be able to, you know, sometimes when you do a sermon series, it's good to look back and see what's going on in the series and see if there's a unity to it. And I, you know, when you come right into the middle of the thing, you have to kind of discover, you know, are you going to be on track with what's been said before? And then 2 weeks ago, I was in a class, so I missed the second one. Fortunately, it's the easiest one for me to understand, okay, because it's got a lot of theology in it, you know, that type of thing. And I am a Bible college graduate. Okay, all right. Yeah, the greatest thing that ever happened to me, save being married to my wife, okay, was the education that I got back then. It just completely set the course for what my adulthood would be. So we're going to look at the past 3 weeks, and I'm going to reteach all three of those sermons, okay? You were supposed to laugh at that point. Okay. I'm not going to pre-preach them all, but I am going to read every single verse that was discussed and talk about it for a few minutes. So this is going to be about a third to a half of the message. All right? Don't be afraid. There are three pages, and I will get, and the third one is going to go real fast. So we'll be okay. All right? 10:15. We get them out of here, 10:10?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. All right. Rob said 10:10. We'll do it. The basics, then calling an audible, then the playbook, and today is traded. Okay? You get the ideas there, okay? First week, I think he referred to the famous preacher thing about... I forgot who the football player was, and I didn't. Lombardi, this is a football, getting back to the basics, okay? And the whole idea of it was, and I got a kick out of it because of the way the pastor did it. He said, it's all about relationship with Jesus Christ. How do you discover God's will? It's about relationship with God. Everybody understand that? Amen. Let's go home. Okay? And that was exactly what he did that first week, because that is the entire thing about discovering God's will. If you have a relationship with God, you will be able to know His will. I have a wonderful relationship with my wife, and I know when she's happy and when she's not. Okay? Because when she's not, I get the look. You guys know exactly what I'm talking about, okay? Or, as I put it, you know, if there's something that the preacher's saying and I need to hear it, I get the sanctified left elbow. Okay? All right? Somehow God is always communicating to me through her, and I am not kidding you about that. Okay? I am deadly serious about that, and you'll see what I mean in a few minutes as we talk further into the discussion. Okay? I mean, you know, we're one flesh anyway. So there it is. But it's all about relationship. And let me just read for you Colossians 3, 1 through 4. I was going to look up in the Bible and that type of thing, but just listen. Okay? Colossians 3, 1 through 4 was the first week. Since then, you have been raised with Christ. Set your hearts on things above where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. But Lord, I want to find out your will for my life here. Hang on. Okay? For you died, it says in verse 3, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. And then he went into the four words that were in there. For Christ, who is your life, appears, then you will also appear with him in glory. But the emphasis that he had was Christ, who is your life. So in other words, if we as believers want to find out what God's will is for our life, we need to look to and have a relationship with Jesus. I went to seminary for a short time period, about a year and a half. And then work got in the way, which is always the thing that has messed me up, okay, with regard to education. Doggone, I like to eat, you know, so I can't just go to school, all right? But what I'm getting at is that, you know, when I went to school there, I was going for actually a counseling degree. And I asked myself a question, what do I have to export? I knew gobs about the Bible, okay? And I was saved. Don't get me wrong. But what do I have to export, okay? What is it that I have to export, all right? And what it came down to was I realized in that time at seminary what I had was a walking, talking, listening more than talking, okay, relationship with Jesus. And all of a sudden it clicked. That's what I can share. And I don't need a counseling degree to share it. I need to live it, first of all. Okay, so that's the whole idea of what the basics are. Gentlemen, this is a football. Ladies and gentlemen, this is Jesus Christ. He is the one. He is the basic. And if you want to know anything about God, you look to Jesus. And have a relationship to Him. Talk to Him. Yes, that's prayer. That's something we do, right? Here's the tough one. Listen to Him. Hear His voice. Get to know His voice. See what I'm saying? Okay, that's week one. Week two. Pastor talked about, and this is the week I was gone, but Pastor talked about calling an audible, and it's the third part of this. He talked about the three uses of God's will in the Bible, okay? Number one, God's providential will, okay? A good theological term. That's what God is going to do regardless of what happens, all right? One of the illustrations, God put rainbows in the sky, okay? And you know what? What he said is, I will not destroy the earth by water again. I did it once. That was it. Not going to do it again. Nothing we can do can cause God to destroy the earth by water. Now, the bad news is he's going to use fire this time, but you know, but he's not going to do it with water. Okay, we're not going to drown. You can, even if you don't know how to swim, you'll be okay. Until the flames. But anyway, that's the whole idea of it, okay? And so that's his providential will. The second will aspect of will is the moral will. And I like the way your pastor summarized it. He said that those are the thou shalt and the thou shalt nots, okay? And he said those are kind of boring a little bit, okay? They're there to be able to show us that we can't do the do's and don'ts, Okay? The law is there as our teacher that shows us how imperfect we are. Okay? And that we need something else. But then the third way that God's Word talks about God's will is personal. Now, how do you get a personal aspect to that? You have a relationship with God. Go back to week one. All right? Personal relationship, admitting that we're a sinner, admitting that we can't keep the law perfectly, and even, you know, even as best we could try, we're never going to be able to do it. But guess what? God has made a way for us by simply trusting in. I heard it this morning on my way in. Trusting in the cross, the work of the cross. Okay? So that was week two. Week three, just last week, he kind of turned it around a little bit. Okay? And started looking at it from our perspective. You could see week one and week two were both, you know, God looking down. Okay? But then, what about us looking up? How are we going to obey God is the third way. And he was talking about a preacher. Okay, the preacher's name was Tim. Okay, now this is an ancient preacher back in the first century. Nah, thanks, John. I'm going to sweat it out. his name was Tim, Timothy, first book of 1 Timothy, book of 2 Timothy. Guy was a young pastor and the seasoned veteran, Paul, was mentoring this young pastor. And what he said in 1 Timothy 4, 14 through 16, don't neglect your gift, which was given to you through prophetic message when the body of elders laid hands on you. They ordained him as pastor. And possibly at that moment, God chose to put the gift of pastor-teacher into him, of maybe administration, of certainly righteous man before that. Okay, otherwise, he would have never rose to the position of pastor of the church. Makes sense, right? Okay. So this guy was no slough to begin with. But then Paul goes on to say in 1 Timothy, he says, be diligent in these matters. Give yourself wholly to them so that everyone may see your progress. What? Yeah. To know about growth, to know about Christian growth, to be an example to the flock, to be everything that our pastor is to us. Okay? He is 12 or 13 or something like that, years my junior. I learn stuff from him. I love it. Now, on occasion, I may toss one out and he gets, you know, a piece of it. But he's just the guy here, just the perfect man to be here. Okay? I love him more than life itself. I'd do anything for Martin and Kim. Okay? The kids are okay, too. Since they're back there and wearing military uniforms, I think I better say something about them too, right? Okay, but seriously, you know, so he has that gift of pastor teacher. He has the gift of administration. Yeah, I have never seen a church this well organized by a pastor. All of us preachers usually know how to yell and scream and holler, but, you know, he knows how to get it all organized too, which is different, all right? A lot different than a lot of other ministries. As a matter of fact, the church where we were in Maryland, the pastor was very good at preaching, very spiritual man, loved Jesus beyond belief, but the fact of the matter was he had to hire somebody who was the administrative pastor that took care of all that organization stuff, got the stuff mailed out and all that kind of stuff, because they were using staff members and there was no chief of administration as Martin is here, okay? And so that was what happened there, and the church grew again, you know, that type of thing. They're in the thousands, but we're on Long Island, so it's a whole different story, right? Okay.
I just dropped absolutely everything out of my lap.
and we're back. So they can edit that part out, you know. Okay, all right. But anyway, that was the first book of 1 Timothy talking about that. That was God's way of saying, Mike, move on, okay? the book of 1 Timothy, don't neglect the gift, be diligent, give yourself wholly to those tasks that you have to do, and watch your life and doctrine closely, persevere in them, because if you do, you will save both yourself and your hearers. That's the pastoral responsibility that's taking place. And that was one of the verses talked about last week. The second one is in 2 Timothy. And apparently he was doing it, but maybe not doing it with enthusiasm and stuff like that, or whatever caused Paul to say to him, fan it up, a flame. You know, the coals are there and they're glowing. But, you know, if you put a little bit of air on those coals, it's going to actually ignite and it's going to be even hotter, even better, even greater. And that was the second verse, okay, that was talked about. Fan into flame the gift which is in you through the laying on of hands, through being ordained, being, you know, receiving that gift by the Holy Spirit. A lot of what I'm talking about in this, especially small group leaders or those aspiring to be in small groups, or if you're looking for something. Now, I gotta warn you, this is the Marine Corps of Bible studies, okay? But a guy by the name of Henry Blackaby, who was actually a Canadian Southern Baptist. Huh? Don't think about that too long. He was a Canadian, a Southern Baptist up in Canada, establishing churches up there. A missions pastor, you think? What do you think? Okay. But what I'm saying is that Blackaby actually 20 years ago, 20 plus years ago, before I met Charlotte, and we're married 21 years this year, so it was more than 22 years ago, went through a study called Experiencing God. She kind of suggested it to us as a small group, and we went through that. And I have never seen a talking about exactly what we're talking about now, finding out God's will. And the little tagline that Charlotte always used that came out of that study is, find out where God is. And this is the way we look for churches, incidentally, the way we found this one. Find out what God is doing and go there, what God is working at, and go there and join Him. Okay? I mean, it's real simple, but it's not simple. Okay, it takes study, it takes reading, it takes understanding, and that's what I would recommend for any of the small groups that might be in existence. Okay, page one. And of course, that was supposed to be very smooth, where he takes this and lays it down and then picks up the second page. Okay, so now, with that given, we've got our three lessons in the past, so what's going to happen today? Traded, okay? I was going to go into this big fancy thing about how, you know, guys that are on teams get traded to other teams and they don't have much to say about it and stuff like that. You got it? Right? Okay. I don't need to go into that, give you illustrations. Yeah, because that's not really important. Okay. What is important, though, is that we're going to talk about jobs. I spend more time with the people. I work part-time. I spend more time with the people at work than I spend with my wife. Okay? And I work part-time mostly. If you're a full-time employee, you're spending a third of your life, if it's an eight-hour day, 8 and 8 is 16, 8 is 24, one-third is 8, yep, a third of your life working. Okay? And so, do you think God's will is important for what you do in terms of every day, okay? The first point I have on here is job strategies. Let me just give you the big picture of what we're going to talk about today. God guides through opportunities. Take full advantage of your current opportunity while you wait, pray, and prepare for the next one. Okay, and the passage is Colossians 3 that I will get to after I talk about all this. Job hunting strategies and stuff like that and techniques, that's what I teach. How to do a resume. How to do cover letter. I don't know why they have us do fax cover sheets, but believe it or not, they do, okay? And the other half of it is I guess I understand because the law firm I worked at in D.C., I was not an attorney and I don't play one on TV either. But the law firm where I worked in teaching technology stuff, they had a gateway filter that if the word was in the resume, the word resume or resume, which caused some problems, in the subject line of the email, it would be blocked because they didn't want people to do that. So the only way to get a resume in was by using a fax cover sheet and faxing it in, okay? Or having it brought in by one of the other attorneys, which is how they preferred to hire attorneys, okay? Yeah, he's done a lot of this, hasn't he? Okay, but the point is that I was going to talk a lot about that and how to put those things together and thank you letters and how those are important and how to use them and stuff like that. I'm not going to talk about that stuff. If you want information on that, just email me, okay? And I have scads of it. I have an entire course. I'm just about ready to publish, okay? It's at that point. It would be just, oh, this guy said this and this guy said this and, you know, here's some of my opinions and stuff like that. I'd take your thing that you talked about that after 10 years, the guy got the job, you know, because he just waited in the position and got it, that type of thing. And I've got all of these stories that I could put together. But that's not the main point of what we're talking about today. Because those are strategies and those are techniques. Is there anything wrong with that? No, we're working the world, you know. God says to be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. And that's the wise as serpents part. If that's what they want, that's what we'll give them. And I've got scads of information on that if you need it. Okay. Charlotte completed her executive training in December of 2013, and she arrived on the field like November of 2012 here in Long Island. And she worked until like June, and then there was an intensive thing where somebody was substituting for her through December of 2013, and then we moved here February of 2014, and that's where we are. Okay. During that time period, she went to executive training. She already had served almost a year on Long Island, and throughout that time, God laid the people of Long Island on our collective, you know, the two of us together, on our hearts. Hers were more the business contacts and the people she was working with. And she said, you know, I really think I can have a positive effect on this organization. I'm talking to one of them, huh? Okay, a positive effect on this organization. And I don't know what it was, but I thought this was a spiritual desert and that I was going to be the only one standing up and saying, love Jesus or something. I don't know what I thought, but, you know. And then we found y'all, of course. We had a sense of excitement as to what God was going to do with us while we were here. I got to tell you about finding a house because this all relates, okay? And we looked at, you know, Charlotte went online and found the place where we are living. I'll give you the punchline at the end. I found 23 houses that would have been perfectly sufficient, one of which was in the waterways in Moriches, okay, right around the corner. Do you live there? Okay. You know what? They don't allow pickup trucks. I'm out. Okay. I won't go there, but it's a great, wonderful, beautiful community, and boy, did we want it, and we were almost ready to move into a house on Highland and 225, and they dropped it to 200, and somebody bought it before we sold our house, so we didn't end up getting that house. But it would have been perfect, and right here, and everything else, you know? But that wasn't what God wanted for us. He wanted us to be in Corum and travel 17 miles to get to church Okay, I'm still trying to figure that one out. But, I mean, that's the reason why we are here, is because of that house, I had to tell you. Okay, but I chose 23 potential houses from Middle Island, Quorum, of course. We had a couple that were there. We were looking for, you know, certain things to be a part of the home and all that kind of stuff, and it all worked out. But what I'm getting at is that Charlotte found our house and then just kind of patiently waited and let me do my thing and everything like that, because I thought I really was smarter than God, and I had a computer and a database, okay? All right? I didn't know he had a better database than mine, all right? Finding a church. We visited actually three churches on Long Island. I thought through this specifically yesterday. We visited three churches on Long Island, and as we walked in, we felt like we were the oldest members in every single one of them. And then we walked in here, and not that we weren't the oldest members. I'm not saying that, okay? But I'm saying that we were so loved here when we walked in the door that it was like, okay, where else are we going to find this? And that is what I commend. I didn't do that. That is what I commend you for in our arrival a year and a half ago. And what was interesting was God not so much led us away from those other churches, but he led us to this one. I guess three is a big number here. I also had three job interviews before I got my job at Hunter Business School, which, like I said, is the absolute best place I've ever worked. The first one was with DDI, Developmental Disabilities Institute, and it was direct care. And the woman described for me a scenario. She said, you know, if one of the residents, 18 to 21 or so, be physically fit, were to get out of the van that you were driving, would you be able to chase him down? Go ahead, laugh. It's okay. It's all right. Yeah, I would have flunked the physical, okay? And no two ways about it. I can't even stand for the whole sermon. How am I going to run after a 21-year-old and tackle him and, you know, bring him back in? That ain't happening. So that was the first one, okay? Second one was best markets, and there was a physical aspect to that because I would have been running around through the tri-state area to all the best market places and installing and doing all that kind of stuff with hardware and software and remotely accessing the places and making sure that every – I'm talking to Rob because he knows – remotely accessing the places with, you know, whatever thing they were using to be able to go onto the computers and stuff like that. And I nailed that interview. Oh man, I showed him that I knew what he was talking about. I didn't have point of sale experience, but I said, you know, with everything else I did, I'll be able to pick up that, no trouble at all. Okay, I understood. I used the word point of sale, which impressed them as well. Okay, so you know what I'm talking about. I nailed the interview, but I didn't get the job. Oh, I forgot to tell you. You know how Charlotte found the house first off? When I started in earnest to look for a job after we finished our house remodel, because that was my job for the first 6 months that we were here on Long Island, she said, why don't you go over to Hunter Business School? There's that elbow again. Oh, man. You know, part of the problem, guys, is that you have to swallow your pride so hard when they're right like that, you know? You just have to swallow hard, okay? But she suggested that, and as it worked out, I had to go through the other two to give the person who was leaving Hunter time to leave, okay? So I don't say I was out of God's will, but I am saying that what kept me from doing that was fear. I didn't want that to fall through, and then what am I going to do? I mean, I'm human too. So anyway, went to a job fair over by the airport and stuff like that. Where is unimportant, but there happened to be a young lady and two other ladies who were students, a young lady who was an administrator, and she was a recruiter for the school. And so I engaged them in conversation, and they asked me what I knew about access, and I told them. And it was like, wow, you know, because I do know about access. Right? And, you know, mentioned that type of thing. And I said to the one lady, I said, Dina, here's my resume. Could you give it to whoever is looking to hire teachers? I got a call 3 days later, or 2 days later, actually, from Chuck Copt, who is over at the school. And he mentioned to me, he said, Mike, I want you to come in for an interview. I sat down and he said, could you teach career development? Now, you understand, I didn't quite know exactly what that was, but I knew what career was, and I knew what development was, and I kind of put the terms together, and I realized he was basically offering me the job before I opened my mouth, okay? Because the software stuff that I teach, Word, Excel, you know, PowerPoint, those kind of things, that was a piece of cake. But he needed somebody to teach this other. I stumbled through the first time, but I've taught it 6 times since. Helped probably 55 or 60 people get a job out of Hunter Business School. Okay. It met on Wednesday night, or it met on evenings. I work Monday through Thursday evenings. You know the reason that I loved coming here? Wednesday night Bible study. Phenomenal. And it was like, you know, man, these people know Bible and they're applying it to their lives and stuff like that. And I'm going to take this job and I'm going to be out of the circle. And I'm not going to be able to do the Wednesday night Bible study anymore. So God gave me all day and running around with John to nursing homes and running around to the nursing home up here on Frohwine Road and visiting with people. And we've got to go see Carl and Alice sometime in the future and stuff like that, and given me this Monday morning Bible study and, you know, all of this kind of stuff that I would have never been able to do if I was working at any of those other places. I kind of, you know, I mean, I'm not, don't get the idea that I'm drawing a salary, and I'm certainly not proud of this or anything like that, but man, I'm doing more church work now than I did when I was a pastor. Okay, I'm serious. I am. It's busy for me, you know? And I think God is using it to have an effect for people on Long Island. Remember I said about God giving me a heart for Long Island? The positives in this were it was training and it was to fulfill God's call. Bill Clinton made a statement in the 90s during one of his State of the Union addresses. Okay? I am not supporting or denying, nothing like that. I just want to tell you what happened. Sometimes things come from unusual sources, but here goes. Bill Clinton said, one of the things that American business is missing is mentors. We have to teach the next generation of workers to be able to get into the workforce. Here I am, a trainer at a training school, okay, going around and doing things. That's what I was doing in the 90s. And I thought, Lord, if you can use me in that area. But I was working full time. And nobody wants to come to school at night, okay? Until you get to Long Island, and then they have a year's worth of school where they're going, and I'm in the perfect job. And although it was 15 years ago, from that calling and my confession of prayer to say, God, use me this way. You've given me the skills. Use me this way, okay? That he actually invoked that, called my card, pulled me in. And that's the point. All the strategy, all the techniques, all the Mike did this right, Mike did this wrong, all that kind of junk doesn't make a difference. Because doors open when God introduces opportunity to preparation. Doors open when God introduces opportunity to preparation. One more time. Doors open when God introduces opportunity to preparation. So that said to me, I'm either preparing or I'm taking advantage of an opportunity for which I've prepared. There's this other part to that quote that I left off, which, you know, a chance is when opportunity meets preparation and God chooses to remain anonymous. But you know what? I'm not going to let God remain anonymous in this service. Okay? Because He is the whole reason for this message. You see what I'm saying? He owns the chessboard. He gets to move us where He wants us. You know how Pastor Tim in that old century church had God's thumbprint on him and was pastoral gifts and all that kind of stuff? Well, guess what? Every single one of you that claims that Jesus Christ is your Lord, you have at least one gift. Exploit it. Use it for God. That's the whole idea. I've mentioned a couple of verses, but we're going to skip all those. Turn to Colossians 3:23 and 24. And I think these are in your bulletin as well, so if you just want to follow along in there, you could. Our marching orders, Colossians 3:23-24, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart, as working for the Lord, not for men. Since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward, it is the Lord Christ you are serving. So in the present opportunity that you have, even if it is unemployment, you're working for the Lord. You know one of those technique things? If you are unemployed, then your full-time employment is looking for a job. Okay, if you need it. You know, some people are in a position where it doesn't matter as much, but, you know, that's one of those technique things that I would give to our students, okay, because they're going to school to be able to get a job, okay? So there's that. But you're not working for anything other than God. And He's given you the gifts to be able to use, so you're going to use those gifts to be able to do the things that you've got to do. Paul, and this is one that I don't know, I alluded to it a little bit before, but not in this sense. Turn over to 2 Thessalonians 3:6 through 13. And actually, we're going to start in 9. I may have made a mistake on this. Oh, yeah. He talks about, in verses 6, 7, and 8, he talks about how he conducted himself in the Thessalonican church and how what had happened in that church was that he would not take a salary, he would not take food from the people and stuff like that. Whatever he did, he bought. And to be able to do it, now you got to understand the dynamics of this. You've got an Orthodox Jew that was not supposed to touch anything dead. And what is he doing? He's tanning hides, okay? So not exactly Orthodox Jewish stuff, okay? Every time he touched one, he became ceremonially unclean, okay? If you wear a genuine leather jacket, you just did too, but that's another story, okay? We're not going to talk about that. But what I'm getting at is that, you know, ceremonial uncleanness and true uncleanness is a whole lot different. But that was what he did for a living. I think it was there. But the fact of the matter is, in verse 9, it says, we did this not because we do not have a right to such help. Okay, listen. But in order to make ourselves a model for you to follow. Verse 10. For even when we were with you, we gave you this rule. If a man will not work, he shall not eat. And boy, do preachers jump up and down on that one. Right? Okay? But hang on. As for you, brothers, brethren, who are doing good, who are doing right, he makes a simple statement, never tire of doing what's right. Okay? I do have to go into this. What's right? You know, and what if the month ends before the money does? Or I'm sorry, the other way around. The money ends. Yeah, thanks. You can laugh. That's okay. I'm not smooth like some of the other preachers are. That's why I'm a teacher. I'm not a preacher, okay? You know, the money ends before the month does. Okay? Wow. Have some people that I know that are in that situation. How many of you want to raise your hand? Don't bother, okay? All right? Where it's tight, it really is. And I'm going to get political for 1 second here. Taxes in New York. Woo! I'll tell you, that's terrible, okay? But aside from that, you know, we're in our situations, we're in our worlds, and we're earning money, and we're doing what we need to do, and we're all this is taken care of, and man, things still aren't working out, maybe, and stuff like that. Matthew chapter 6. These words have been echoing in my mind, and I'm sorry that I didn't actually get it written out, that I've got to take it from the New American Standard Version. Brad, we'll be okay together. But, you know, most of you may have New International. Just bear with me. But Matthew chapter 6, and when I get there, I'll tell you which verse. I think it's 34 is where I'm going to start reading. 7:6. No, 24. 34 is where I'm ending. Verse 24, it may indicate that it's a paragraph, that's where the paragraph starts. And I think Jesus literally did make a distinction, but unlike verse 25 being another paragraph, I think 24 relates to the rest of the chapter. Because he says, no one can serve two masters, for either you will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and wealth, is what it says in the New American Standard Version, or mammon is the King James, and you know, so that, but money, okay? That's what it is. Then he goes on to say, Jesus goes on to say, for this reason I say to you, do not be worried about your life as to what you will eat or what you will drink, nor your body as to what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Please hang with me. Don't roll your eyes at this point, please. Even, you know, in your mind. Jesus is talking. There's a requirement in this, but Jesus is talking. Listen to the beauty of this. Look at the birds of the air, that they do not sow, nor reap, nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not worth much more than they? And who of you, being worried, can add a single hour to his life? As a matter of fact, if I'm not mistaken, medical science has proven that worry takes away from your life. Okay? All right? And verse 28, and why are you worried about clothing? Observe how the lilies of the field grow. Now, these are the wild ones that are out there, not the beautiful things that we have every Easter, okay? These are the wild lilies that are out in the fields. I've got a couple of daffodils that are like this tall and little tiny things and stuff like that, and they come up every spring, and I didn't plant them. And so far, two springs we've been here, and they pop up and stuff like that, you know? And God gives me that as, don't worry, Mike, spring's coming. You know, it's okay. I know you're on Long Island. I know you love Texas. Okay, all that kind of stuff where it's perpetually summertime. I bring summertime here too. You know, hang on. Here it is. Okay? So he said, the lilies of the field, they do not toil nor spin. And yet I say to you that not even Solomon in all his glory clothed himself like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown into the furnace, will he not much more clothe you? You of little faith. I'm going to talk about that in a second, but hang on. Do not worry then, saying, what will we eat, or what will we drink, or what will we wear for clothing? For the Gentiles, the ethnos is the word, the nations, okay? Those who are not Jewish, because his audience at this point was. He's saying that the Gentiles eagerly seek after these things. I think it's, what's the New American Standard or New International Version? Heathen? Is that what's in there? Pagan? Okay. That's what the pagans worry about. That might be, although not exactly the word, okay, that's the context, certainly. The unbelievers worry about this stuff. You believers, you know, here it comes. And let me just throw the word unbelievers in there, eagerly seek after these things, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things as well. But here it is. And I'm going to remember that one part this time. Seek first the kingdom of God. And you know what it says next? And his righteousness. So if you're seeking after God's righteousness and you're seeking to forward God's plan, then guess what? He's going to make sure that you have all these things. Take therefore no thought for the morrow. For the morrow, and I'm going back to King James, will take care of itself. Sufficient unto every day is the evil that's in it. Okay? There's enough to worry about today, and that's it. I blew it. It's almost quarter after. One more. And let me just tell you what this one is. Psalm 37:4. And these are all in the bulletin. Okay, at least the addresses. Let me just give you this. Delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. Okay, I want a boat. That is the desire of my heart. And I'm on Long Island. Okay? Boats everywhere, right? No, that's not what that verse means. What that verse means is what happened with Charlotte and me back in 2003, I think it was, or 4, something like that. We're sitting there at Six Flags over Texas. We had just picked up some hot chocolate or something like that, and it was chilly like it is around here in March. And we're sipping away at hot chocolate. We're talking about our future and stuff like that. And what we came down to was, Lord, if you want Charlotte to continue, because she was in perfectly good position. I was in a perfectly good position. We were comfortable where we were, all this kind of stuff. And we knew the next step of what we were talking about was going to take us and move us from Texas to Maryland to eventually Long Island. Okay, that's the end of the story. But we decided at that point, Lord, give us the desires of our heart. Give us the want to. And take it away, you know, make it distasteful if that's not what you want. Well, the rest is history. Here we are. 10 years in Maryland, and so far two here. All right? Just about two. You get the idea? God is sovereign. God is so incredible. And He can work with what we want and our desires and those kind of things. The pastor asked an important question last week that I want to almost close with. He said, wouldn't it be great to see what God could do with South Bay Bible Church if everyone here was using the gift of God that God has given them to further the work of His kingdom? Wow. That's the reason for the shape thing. And if you don't know what I'm talking about, don't worry about it, because he's not here and you can't set up an appointment with Kim and stuff like that. But what I'm getting at is that in the midst of it all, for those that don't know what their spiritual gifts are, you know, that's what shape is. It helps you to discover what your spiritual gift is. And then there's a list of things that pertain to those spiritual gifts. And all we're doing is we're giving you opportunity to be able to do it, to see it, to be able to activate for God on the local church level. Okay? Now, yeah, wait a minute. Where did this come from? We were talking about jobs. The whole idea is based on week one, relationship with God. That's the way to do it. The closer you walk with Him, the more used to talking to Him, but more important, hearing from Him. If that's a regular thing that takes place in your life, then you're going to know what your next step is. And I happen to think it's not going to be a surprise. So on your cards, in the response cards, 3 points. See where you are today as a gift from God. Hopefully everybody will check that one. Okay? Even if it's unemployment, even if it's not enough to be able to make it where you know what you're doing, even if you're in the middle of a struggle, in the middle of a problem, it's a gift from God, because what it is it allows Him to be able to draw you closer to Him. And see where you are as an opportunity to serve God. That one, we might not get as many checks, but, you know, it's there. Even in that job, yep. And then finally, at least see where you are today as a place to train for your next responsibility for God. Those are the check marks. You can memorize any of the verses if you want to, but you know I'm not going to make you put down a check to be able to say I'm going to memorize the book of John tomorrow. Okay? There it is. Don't worry. If there's any place that I was going to do it, it was right there. Don't worry. Cast your care on Him because He cares for you. He loves you. He loves you. He loves you, and He's not going to do anything to you that's going to just kill you. If you have absolutely no desire to go to Africa, okay, He's not going to send you there. He might, but I guarantee what's going to happen first is He's going to give you the want to, the desire of your heart. Okay? Let's pray. Father God, we are grateful to You for Your love, because You love us so very much. And because of that, You have sent Your Son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for our sins. Just so that we can somehow reach up and have a relationship with You. But at the same time, it's based so much on Your reaching down to us. And that's the difference of what Christianity is from every other religion in the world. We're not trying to get to You. You're ministering to us. And as a result, we just simply respond. And so, Father, let this message be that response. Let our hearts respond to You, accepting what You have given us, seeing it as a way that we're not serving the people we're working for You. And then finally, looking at it as a possibility for training, for an opportunity for development, and even if it's a rough situation, maybe what we've got to do is get thicker skin to be able to handle our next responsibility for you. Father, give us souls. We pray that as our June 11th, the crusade is coming up, thank you, that the June 11th crusade, that what we're going to be doing there, Father, might just be an open door to those who need to know you. Father God, we love you and we thank you for this opportunity. We pray this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Let me see what else I'm supposed to